This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here with, what's your name again?
I don't remember anymore.
Been a long night, huh?
Yeah.
Sparky's here, folks. How about that? We are live and in person back from our travels, and Chris Klaproth is here as our producer this morning, and we haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. He looks fit and fair and fiddle today, and, been doing a little squirrel hunting, haven't you, Chris?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Still not finding very many, but, you know.
No, I mean, but I saw one.
You saw one?
Saw one.
But it was a good one.
It was a good one, but it was too far away, and I just, ethically, I just couldn't do it.
Saw a beautiful fox squirrel out in Frederick County.
Yes, it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Did you know today was National Public Lands Day?
No, I did not know.
National Public Lands Day today. And Sparky tells me it's also National Ghost Hunting Day today.
So you can ghost hunt on public land today.
I guess you could.
Have a double celebration.
I guess you probably could. I like that. I like that. What kind of gun would you use for a ghost?
Very good question.
I think Crossman makes a Phantom.
There you go.
That's true.
I'm pulling Shadow out of my head, but that wasn't working.
Shadow, yeah, good. Phantom, I don't know, you know. I guess you'd have to use a ghost ring sight.
No, you got to have one of those echo plastic things from Ghostbusters. Echo.
Oh, one of those?
What were those things called? You know what I'm talking about.
Echoplasm. Yeah.
Blasters.
That's what you need?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Slime them.
That's what the ghost does, is slime you.
I know, but then one of the ectoplasm, that's electric.
That's the slime.
No, I don't. Okay.
I don't know. I guess what?
Time to Google.
I guess we get. I guess she just sprung this on me like 3 minutes ago. So
maybe we'll have to.
Do you have the theme from Ghostbusters in there?
We'll have to check.
Check that out. See what we have. But anyway, National Public Land. Hey, welcome back, Robin.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
We missed you.
A lot better than what I was dealing with before.
We missed you after your surgery and everything else. We did miss you. So it's National Public Lands Day today. It was established in 1994, held annually on the fourth Saturday in September, right after National Fishing and Hunting and Fishing Day, which we heard nothing about in Maryland. I mean, they did something down in southern Maryland or someplace.
Haven't heard anything about it.
No. I mean, there was some kind of a event dedicated to those who served in the military service, which is fine, but I didn't see much about it, quite frankly. There was no invitations for groups to go or anything like that. That we weren't here anyway, but it doesn't, it just kind of in Maryland this year, as far as I'm concerned. But that's me, and I'm very opinionated. So anyway, it's National Public Lands Day today, and I got this from the folks at Onyx, O-N-X, you know, the app that you use for your hunting, one of our sponsorships.
Yes, exactly.
Obviously. So they're all about that. But it's in the celebrates the connection between people and green space in their community, inspires environmental stewardship, and encourages use of open space for education, recreation, and health benefits. And this year it falls today, September 28th, down. Speaking of public lands, you know, we were talking before we left about Chesapeake Forest lands.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the raw deal that was handed the 250 clubs that leased Chesapeake Forest lands from the state of Maryland.
The outcome?
The leases were going to be gone. all the land was going to be, all the land that was leased by the clubs was going to be put in the hopper and made available for the public to bid on those leases for 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. Well, because of all the public comments and because of the efforts of the Chesapeake Forest Alliance and Mr. Bill Miles, that entire proposal from June was scrapped.
Great.
Scrapped. Done. Gone. The new deal is nobody's going to lose their lease. The leases will be renewed for 10 years, renewed annually, but you have a 10-year plan, and then you can continue for another 10 years as long as you're in good standing. Now, what good standing means is you have got to be, let me read it here, a legal entity. Your club must be a legal entity.
That's easy.
LLC.
Exactly.
Very easy. Very easy to do. So lessees, however you say it, shall be a legal entity. Today, current leases, at the end of existing terms, current lessees may offer a continuance of 10 years if the lessee is a legal entity or has established a legal entity that is in good standing with the state of Maryland. In other words, you got to file a tax return. And it can be a postcard. That's how that works, okay? And the lessee has complied with all the terms and condition of previous leases with DNR in the state of Maryland. So, the whole June deal was scrapped. And the lessees have been informed. There was a meeting on September 16th. I attended. The meeting was in Salisbury. Chesapeake Forest Alliance was there. And Mike Schofield gave the Chesapeake Forest Alliance a lot of credit, as well as the people who commented and wrote their delegates and senators and DNR and so forth. But the comments were something like 83% in favor of the deal and 18%. This was the June deal, 83% against and 17 or 18% for accepting the June deal. Okay. Well, they took all that into consideration as well. Said, look, 87% of the people are against this proposal. You've got the Chesapeake Forest Alliance. You've got Bill Miles asking questions. You've got Bill Miles lobbying on behalf of the leaseholders and so forth. So that all goes along with National Public Lands Day today, because there was a PowerPoint slide shown at that event that showed the Maryland DNR hunting availability. Now, you know, folks are going, ah, these, you know, 250 clubs, at least 30,000 acres of hunting land in Maryland, that should be up for public grabs. Well, that's, you got to understand that the leases are only 49% of the Chesapeake Forest lands. The other 51% is open and available to public hunting. And here's how this breaks down on National Public Lands Day today. Statewide, the total DNR lands. If you have a pencil, you can write this down. 487,336 acres of public lands. Total huntable DNR lands is 406,919 acres. So 407,000 acres of land in Maryland is open to public hunting. The total public land that is not leased is 369,000 acres. 369,966. So 370 acres of public hunting land is not leased. 30,000 is, okay? In the lower six counties where the bulk of the, well, all the Chesapeake Forest land is located, total DNR lands on the six counties, Caroline, Dorchester, Somerset, Talbot, Wicomico, and Worcester, total DNR lands are 172,346 acres. Total huntable DNR lands are 166,346. And the total public not leased lands is 129,530 acres. Okay, so everybody that's complaining that there's not enough public land, you have 129,000 acres. 36,000, 35,000, 30,000 of it is leased. So four times as much public land is open than leased. All you have to do is get your butt out there and look for it and find it and put in your permit for your permit, like I just put in for my Central Maryland permit, so I can hunt public land as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy.
And there's Chris, who's never hunted before this year.
I got my permit, I got everything, and it was a breeze.
Well, when I got my permit just last week,
mm-hmm.
it lists, it's like 16 pages of rules and regulations,
yeah,
and things
exactly.
like that. But it also lists all the public lands that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reserve land ahead of time.
Yes.
You got your parking permit,
mm-hmm.
so you're legit. And it's a pretty easy deal.
Yep. I went on a Monday to a place in Howard County.
Yep.
And I had the place to myself.
Right.
And it was great. Just put that little thing on the dash in
yep.
case a DNR comes by. You're golden.
Mm-hmm.
And all it took was a simple phone call, and then within a matter of minutes, I got an email with the permit number and everything, and boom, it's all done. Printed up. Out the door I went.
Yep. Yep. Very easy.
Yes.
So, I just wanted to cover that a little bit on the public land, so the people who are negative on these leases, and there's a minority and a vocal minority out there that's negative on these leases being, you know, renewed. It should be made available to everybody to hunt. Well, you know, you got 129,000 acres in those six lower counties to hunt if you want. If you want to search it out, there's plenty of public land, okay? Just saying. So, do we want to take a break yet, or do you want me to continue on with the next topic? Continue on with the next topic. I will do that. Robin?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments that you would like to add about public lands or Chesapeake Forest lands or Chesapeake Forest Alliance? Or?
I think it's prudent to me to just keep quiet. Go ahead.
On that one?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I like your glasses. They're not your new ones, though. I like them new ones better.
What do I think, honestly?
Yeah.
I think the deal that they revised is much, much better.
Of course.
And to do that to people who've had lands for so long, I think it was horrible. But you all heard my opinion.
Who all?
You and
whoever.
Your associate.
Oh, my affiliates? Got it.
But, no, I think the way it's working out is much better for them than it was before.
I agree. So, okay. Well, there we have Odell in Ellicott City. He wants to talk a little bit. All right. Let's see what he has to say about public lands. Odell, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. I hunted public land years ago. Well, I mean, a lot of years ago. And never needed a permit for it. When did you start that? Or how do you go about getting a permit to hunt? It's for certain public lands?
It's for it's for certain public lands, but it's a free permit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a free permit. Let me see if I can find.
And it even tells you for the rules and regulations for, you know, your current year. So in this case, 2019, 2020, what uh-huh. lands, what public lands you need a permit for.
Right. Right.
Because I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago, you know, 100 public land I sent away and got this book that had, you know, maps and all the public lands I hunted on back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the interest in public lands and so forth, they want to kind of know who's in there.
Right.
But what I would do, let's see. That's my parking permit. Hold on. Let me
for
see.
The central region, it was Gwynbrook, and you had
yeah.
to make the phone call, I think, between 7:30 and 11:30.
Right.
Right. And that's pretty much all you have to do. The number four, Gwynbrook, you have to appear in person.
Or
you can apply online.
Or a phone call.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the phone number for...
So that's just for certain public lands you need a permit for, not all of them.
Yeah, here's the number. 410-356-9272.
Okay.
But there are public lands that are, you know, archery only.
There are
wildlife management areas, cooperative wildlife management areas. You know, they're just a whole bunch of different numbers. You know, depending on how the land is designated, some are for
right.
deer hunting, some is only for small game, some is for archery
right.
only. But, you know, if you go online, there's a whole public land section under the hunting tab on the DNR website.
Okay, because they have off of Wood Mountain Road and off of 68. There's public land there, but it's only for deer hunting only.
Right, right.
For 2 weeks of firing season.
Right. Well, you know, the land that adjoins the private property that I hunt in Cecil County is huge. It's 700 acres.
Right.
They only allow 10 hunters.
Wow.
On that property during deer firearm season. 10.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, and there's designated parking areas. I was on some back road in Cecil County the other day and came across another public property up there. I can't say the name of it. I just can't recall it off the tip of
right.
my tongue right now. But it was also huge. And, you know, I ran across three designated parking areas. Out of the three parking areas, there was one car in two of them. That's it. So, I mean, there's plenty of land to hunt.
Right, there was a public land we hunted up there years ago, and it used to be a farm or somebody donated.
Right.
I think it's like 3,500 acres or something up there.
Sure.
And my son now, he's 46, 47, and we hunted when he was about 10 years old. And when we walked through the woods, there's an old wooden cabin in the middle of it.
Nice.
And it had dates on it from back 1935 when somebody hunted, had a dirt floor. And you could see the door was halfway off, but it had, like, leather on it for opening and everything. You see when the deer come in one door, went out the other.
A deer?
Yeah, with the deer. You could see tracks for the deer coming. There goes the dirt floor.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
And we took the picture of it. It had an old stone little fireplace in there.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's like a little one-room cabin.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's all kinds of treasures out there. So.
Yeah, my grandson went to go, and I told him he's 13. He's got I got to find a place so he can take a hunter safety course.
Mm-hmm.
He's go down Stony Creek Gun and Rifle Club. I took my son and my nephew years ago when they were little.
Right.
I don't know if they still do it down there anymore.
I think Stony Creek does. There's a number of places. There's Baltimore County Game and Fish. But you're running out of time now to get done for this hunting season.
So, yeah, I know.
You know, but speaking of Baltimore County Game and Fish, their sight-in days are coming up, too. I'll talk about that in a minute. Remind me to talk about that as well. So, all right, Odell, thanks for checking in, man.
I appreciate the show. I listen to it all the time. Riding down the road keeps me awake.
Well, stay awake, Odell.
I had a black bear the other day.
You what?
Down in Virginia.
You what?
I had a black
bear.
Did you didn't hit it.
The road.
You saw one. You saw one. You didn't hit one.
No, I hit him with the track and trailer right out in front of me.
Oh, my gosh, you did.
Yeah.
He hit it.
That flipped me over.
How big a bear was it?
Probably about 130 pounds. I was watching the two deer over there, and they was at the shoulder road. I'm going down the side of 29, about 23 miles from Rustburg, Virginia, and he shot across 29 and blink of the eye, boom, I done hit him.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I felt bad about doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to swerve because I hauled two trailers and
no.
swerved and I'd be in the ditch. Somewhere.
No, do me a favor. Don't ever swerve for wildlife.
No,
any of y'all out there.
No.
There's an easy way to do it if you think ahead. You know, if you're in deer country and you think you might see a deer. Okay, if one darts out in front of you, you can take your foot off the gas, But do not.
Slow down.
Yeah, that'll slow you down a little bit. But if the crash is inevitable, just drive through the animal. Because your car weighs a heck of a lot more than that. Any deer. You're going to do some damage, perhaps. Do not touch the brake. If you touch the brake, you're going to drop the front end of that car.
And if I don't have a.
The average driver, if they drop the front end of that car down, you take the legs out.
In the windshield.
You're stealing my thunder, Odell. You take the front legs, you take the legs out from under that deer, and they do. That's exactly what they do. Flip up on your hood, can come through your windshield, and can kill you. And there are people that
you ever heard of a deer committing suicide?
No.
I had an old deer on 29, just past Lynchburg, and I was coming down the hill, and he walked out. Yeah, he was old. He's hardly walking, and he just lay down in the road right in front of me.
I'm not sure they have the mental capacity to make that decision, Odell.
I don't know, but he was an old buck.
Yeah.
It looked like he was half starved or whatever, and he just walked out of the field and just wobbled around unless he got hit before, and he just sit down in the middle of the road.
And let you crush him.
Yeah, well, I had no choice with a car beside me, and I didn't want to. I slowed down about 30 miles an hour and hit him.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. So.
Yeah, me too. I don't like hitting any wildlife.
I don't blame you. So.
I try not to, but I enjoy your show.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much. Right. This is the Roadkill Hour, brought to you by the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And we'll be taking a break here to talk about some of our sponsors. We need a good auto body company, don't we?
That's right, because they're starting.
I talked to one auto body shop the other day that had three in their Annapolis store and two in their Eastern Shore store already. Mm-hmm. Deer strikes.
Yeah, I was about to say, because as I'm driving down the road sometimes early in the morning, it's just like they're standing right there next to the road. It's like, come hit me. Please don't.
Yeah, drive up and down 50. You'll see the grease spots on over the highway. So, what's the matter with
you? Nothing. Nothing.
Huh?
Not a thing.
You ever hit a deer?
Hmm?
Did you ever hit a deer?
Nope.
No?
Nope, never swerve for one either.
Not fun. Well, no. Never hit. I hit one with a 1968 Chevy Blazer in August. Came up from creek bottom, jumped the guardrail. Never knew I was there. I didn't know he was there. I didn't see him till he was in front of the car and dead centered him with the grill. It rolled under the truck and out the back, little velvet buck. I hit one on 70 in, I think it was early November. Yeah, because it was rut. He was not a big buck, but he was a heavy-duty buck. He was all built up, bucked up for the rut, but is, not much of a rack. And he did $5,800 damage to a 2011 F-150. That was 5 months old, 4 months old.
I did have a friend who had a Camaro back in the 80s, and she took one out at the legs.
Yeah.
And the antlers came right through the windshield at her.
Yeah.
Got her side of her face.
Hit her face, yeah. She's very blessed. She's very fortunate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. I hit one in Montgomery County. I was going up a hill, and a deer come off the bank, and I scooted her across the highway, just this back road. I watched her down the road behind me, just doing circles, and stopped the car and pulled over. But back, and she was gone. I just knocked her down.
We must have different driving habits. And I drove a lot, not as much now that I'm with you, but I used to drive a lot. I've never hit a deer, knock on wood.
Now that you've said it.
And now that I've said it, okay. He asked me how many rollovers I had, because I've never had an accident. He's had three rollovers and accidents, and I'm like.
Still here.
But I've never had to pay for any of that stuff, because I don't do it. Knock on. Is there anything wood in here?
No. Yes, you're knocking on wood.
No, it's under the
Under the formica.
Under the formica.
Yeah, but it's wood. Of sorts.
Okay. Yeah. Can I talk about Chesapeake Outdoors now?
Please.
Okay. So if you want to kill a deer with a bow or a gun or a muzzleloader, and not a Chevy, Ford, or
Toyota
or other products. Yeah. Listen up, because I'm going to tell you where the lethal stuff is on Ken Island. It's at Chesapeake Outdoors. Compound bows and crossbows. They do carry the Matthews brand of compound bows, including the new Vertix as well. Now, we've been talking about this clearance sale on Hoyt. They're down to about 7 or 8 bows. If you like the Hoyt brand, you're going to get one at an extremely good price, like a little over cost or cost, something like that. So you can check that out on the compounds. But on the crossbows, they've got the Mission, including the Sub 1 XR. I looked at that the other day. That's a pretty nice bow. The Raven R26 and 29. Honey, can I have $2,000 to buy a new crossbow? Anyway, they do have custom arrows, bow tuning, and accessories for all your bow hunting requirements. They do have that. Camouflage apparel for all seasons. Firearms and ammunition by Remington, Chiappa. Thompson Center and CVA muzzleloaders, Costa. Sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rambo electric bikes, waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot gear and camo for waterfowl, and all the dove gear, too. Ammo, decoys, buckets and chairs, tree stands, you name it, Chesapeake Outdoors has it, and an extensive fishing tackle and crabbing supply department as well. Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's the Dominion Road exit on Ken Island in Chester, Maryland. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Line-X spray-on bedliners rated number 1, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Line-X spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Line-X premium bedliner or the Line-X extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Line-X spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Line-X, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Line-X.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
National Ghost Hunting Day.
Proton packs.
Proton packs. That's what you need, huh?
You need a proton pack.
Okay.
I was laughing at the break when you were holding onto that mic like you were holding on for dear life and begging to take your commercial. It was just very funny.
You thought that was hilarious, huh?
Yes, I did.
I see. Well, I'm glad I'm able to provide you with a source of humor today. given your mood on the way up here.
Chris is now hiding.
It's also National Public Lands Day, and the Wildlife and Heritage Service in Maryland oversees the management of a 61 wildlife management areas, WMAs. And you'll see that in your permit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ranging in size from 1 acre to 30,000 acres, all huntable. The wildlife management area system encompasses 123,000 acres with WMAs located in 18 of Maryland's 23 counties. That came from Bill Miles. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. So, anyway, so what else do you want to talk about? Well,
he's got a whole list.
I got a list.
A lot of pent-up energy from 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about striped bass. I was hoping that someone would call in and say that they attended the September 25th meeting in Annapolis on the striped bass situation here in Maryland. That was sponsored by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Atlantic Striped Bass Management Board. They have a draft addendum 6 to Amendment 6 of the Interstate Fishery Management Plan for Atlantic Striped Bass. And that is available for public comment. Now, I'm sure that that is on their website. Anglers and other stakeholders are encouraged to provide input on Draft Addendum 6 by attending a state public hearing or providing written comment. Atlantic Coast states from Maine through North Carolina have scheduled hearings to gather public input on Draft Addendum 6. A second public hearing has been added. For those of you on the Eastern Shore and elsewhere, it is coming up this coming Wednesday, October 3rd. Is that Wednesday? October 3rd?
You're making me work today.
I am. Maybe it's the 4th. I don't know. Let's see.
I think you told me we're going Wednesday night, but I'm not sure.
When's the 3rd?
The 3rd is Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Thursday. That's the day I have the two meetings. Okay. The striped bass meeting is Thursday, October 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m., and that's at the American Legion Dorchester Post 91, located at 601 Radiance Drive in Cambridge. And if you would like more information, I can send that to you. About all that would be a DNR contact. But if you're going Thursday, October 3rd, that would be the evening at 6 to 8 p.m. at the American Legion Dorchester Post 91, Radiance Drive, Cambridge. So there you go. Did anybody here attend the meeting the other night? I would wonder if there was somebody in our audience that didn't, but, you know, maybe not. So why am I doing that? Wednesday is the wait a minute. Monday's the 30th. Your thing at
my thing's Wednesday.
Your thing's Wednesday. There's two meetings there. I'm a day messed up. I was thinking that. So we got nothing Monday and Tuesday. Other than you have your thing Wednesday.
I got therapy Monday.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Anyway.
Gonna need mental therapy after this.
So am I. After that trip up here this morning, I'm gonna need a hug.
It was
hug
that
your mic.
Bad?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh, you're full of... I can't even say that on the air.
Say it.
Chris will block me out.
Chris will dump you, and then everybody will hear music, and then they'll go, why was the music playing? Because Robin said something bad.
That's right. She said a no-no.
Uh-huh.
You get 20 minutes of Metallica or something.
No, just, I think, 20 seconds of... our station across
the hallway. Long 20 seconds of time.
Really? It dumps you out for 20 seconds?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
no,
it does.
Actually, 7 seconds, but it seems like forever.
Wow. Sit there and go.
Hey, since it is Public Lands Day and I talked about the leases, I'm going to just kind of circle back there for a minute. DNR is looking for input, public input, on the new draft plan. And as I said before, it was like 87% positive and 13% negative. Mm-hmm. They need that same kind of ratio to continue forward with this plan. Because what happens is now...
The old plan was 87% negative.
Against negative, yeah, and 13% positive. I said it wrong.
I know that.
Thank you for correcting.
I have no problem correcting you.
None whatsoever. When you hear the tape of the trip up here.
And the magic phrase is, yes, dear.
Yes,
whatever
dear.
Whatever you say, dear,
yes,
you're
dear.
Always right, dear.
So anyway.
Could you make a recording of that? Because it don't happen.
Listen. The public public input is needed. Once the public input is done, and it's like 30 days of public input, I think it's good till the 17th of October, okay? Based on that, then they can recommend this new policy, this new, what do they call this? The new directive to the Board of Public Works. The Board of Public Works approves it, and it's a done deal. So it's not just, this is a draft, okay? Mm-hmm. They need the public input, and of course the Chesapeake Forest Alliance is going to comment as well, and all the members of the CFA, which I think we're up to 63 clubs out of 250. It's not a lot. And the reason we don't have all of them is because the names and contact information is not available publicly. You know, you got to basically sue somebody to get it. So we're trying to get the word out this way through the radio show and magazine and emails and word of mouth and everything else to all those club members. You need to have positive input on this.
Now, is that something they can do online?
Yeah.
And where can they go to do that?
Well, they can do that. Let me look here. You did have to ask that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did.
He wants to be informed.
Damn troublemaker.
You're just getting it from both sides, aren't you?
What's new?
I'm back.
I can tell. All right, here's the website, dnrmaryland.gov/forests/pages/Chesapeake-forest-hunting-lease-proposal. I think you can just go... You know, you just go in the search bar. There's a search bar on DNR website and put in Chesapeake Forest Land.
And it'll pop up.
Because that's where I downloaded it from. And there's a place there.
And that is such an easy site to work with, DNR.
Uh-huh. When's the last time you were on it?
Probably last week.
Really?
Yes.
And you found it no problem to navigate?
No problem navigating it.
Okay.
Because I was able to take a look to see where there was public hunting on Sundays.
Yeah.
And then I went to that particular location.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the location, I was able to pull up the map and print it.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
It's very
some people
easy.
Aren't technically challenged.
No, some people are technically challenged. Some people are not technically adept.
Well, plus the fact is, too, I mean, if the website is not laid out correctly, it's not user-friendly, then it's hard to navigate. But the DNR website is very easy to navigate.
Okay.
And I'm not technically, you know, I have problems. And if I can do it,
that has nothing to do with navigating webs.
As far as if you're not technically savvy.
We all have problems, Chris. This is not the format to air your public laundry.
Okay.
Now I know why I missed y'all so much.
Baltimore County Game and Fish Protective Association. 3400 Northwind Road. Saturday, October 12th is muzzle loader only sight-in day, 9 to 3. Rifle or shotgun, Saturday and Sunday, November 9th and 10th. On Saturday, 9 to 3, muzzle loaders, 9 to 3, on October 12th. Saturday, November 9th, 9 to 3. Sunday, November 10th, noon to 3. Saturday, November 16th, 9 to 3. Sunday, November 17th, noon to 3. $5 per rifle or shotgun. Think of this as an investment. Considering the high cost of ammunition today, if you don't have to take a second or third shot, your investment is really paid off. Please bring your firearm onto the range unloaded. In a case, in the action, open eye and ear protection is required. 5 miles per hour to get onto the grounds. One of our listeners, our buddy Butch, who's also a member of the Chesapeake Forest Alliance, helped me with sighting my muzzleloader at Ted.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I really like him.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. So, yep. So, anyway, changing our course just a lot.
This should be interesting.
Chris, where do you want to go? You want to go to Montana or Louisiana? Take your pick.
I would like to go to Montana.
You want to go to Montana or Louisiana, and you chose Montana. The fourth Montana hunter has been attacked by a grizzly in 10 days.
On second thought, I will pass.
You want to go to Louisiana?
Yeah. What's down in Louisiana?
I think we'll talk about Montana. A fourth hunter in Montana has been injured by a grizzly bear. Hey, it's my show. You don't get to decide.
True.
It's now an anarchy.
Just an opinion. A fourth hunter in Montana has been injured by a grizzly bear, not necessarily the same grizzly bear, in the last 10 days, marking the most recent attack of its kind in Big Sky Country. The fourth victim was injured in the Gravelly Mountains in the same stretch of wilderness, just 8 miles south of where three hunters were hurt in two separate encounters on September 16th. As reported by USA Today. This came from Janine Puhock from Fox News. According to the outlet, the Ohio man was mauled on September 24th near Coral Creek Drainage in Eureka Basin Road, telling officials that he was ambushed by the bear while walking through blown-down timber. During the incident, the man reportedly fired multiple shots at the bear until it left. The man was able to meet up with other members of his hunting party and get medical attention, said the Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Treated at a local hospital, the hunter later told officials he'd been aware of the grizzly bear attacks in the Gravelly Mountains and was ready to defend himself. It was unclear if the same bear was responsible for all the September attacks. The Gravelly, or Gravelly, is an area that they've kind of grown into, so the bear's geographic distribution is growing and their density within that area is also growing. Under the Endangered Species Act, grizzly bears are currently protected in the lower 48 states as a threatened species. Beyond self-defense or the defense of others, it is illegal to hurt or kill the animals. Moving forward, forest, wildlife, and park wardens have warned people to avoid the Coral Creek and Twin Springs area while an investigation proceeds. On September 16th, two separate grizzly bear attacks in Montana left three hunters injured and had wildlife officials investigating whether the men had fought for their lives against the same animal. The men were attacked less than 12 hours apart near Cottonwood Creek on the west side of the Gravelly Mountains at the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest. All three men survived with moderate to severe injuries.
Could that potentially be, since I don't know anything about bears, could that potentially be a situation where Mama Bear was protecting her children? Because I don't know when the kids...
Could very well be. Could also be, an older bear that's run down, not able to catch, elk and deer and things like that, but more so able to catch a slow human.
Maybe he's got a thorn in his foot.
Maybe he has a thorn in his foot. Maybe he has hemorrhoids. Maybe he's just ticked off about something. Who knows? Don't know.
I was going for the Bible. You went for hemorrhoids.
The thorn in the foot is in the Bible?
No, what's it in? It's a fable. It's Esau's fable.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Aesop. I hope your mother heard that.
Oh, please, no.
Oh, my God.
It'll be a big, long lecture.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Save us here.
I'm doing great.
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about, you were talking about public-owned land.
That's right.
I grew up down near White Island on the Eastern Shore.
Okay.
And I just wanted to talk about how much I enjoyed it and what it was like when I was a kid down there.
Okay.
My parents used to take me down there every summer, and we'd go soft crabbing.
Okay.
And it was just unbelievable the amount of soft crabs we used to catch back in the day. It wasn't nothing to just catch 10 or 15 dozen soft crabs and a bushel of hard crabs in the morning. It was just a great place to grow up at.
No question.
Yes, it was. I did.
Yep.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Yep. Class of 81, Queen Anne's County.
Yeah, well, I was 76, Queen Anne's County.
Well, you two need to go to a reunion together.
And in the springtime, when they actually used to plow the fields, we'd go down and we'd pick up arrowheads, spearheads, and
wow,
and all kinds of stuff. My stepfather actually grew up on Wye Island. They had a one-room schoolhouse down there, and he showed me where it was at, and it's no longer there, obviously, now. But the stories he used to tell were really interesting. There was actually a legend about a young black kid that fell in a clabber barrel. I don't know whether you know anything about what clabber was.
No, what's clabber?
Clabber was, well, back in the 1800s, and I guess before that, they used to save sour milk and old stale biscuits, and they'd put them in a barrel. And I don't know what else they put in it, but that's what they would feed people that actually used to work out in the fields and everything.
Really?
And yes.
Okay.
And the legend has it that there was a big barrel, and a little young boy went up to actually get some without permission, and he fell in and he drowned.
Uh-oh.
They say that area of the little island was actually haunted.
I've heard that too. And see, you actually worked into both our National Ghost Hunting Day and our National Public Lands Day.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right there. You combined two of them.
I guess it was a few years after I graduated, the state actually bought the island. Rouse actually wanted to develop the island. Mr. Rouse, the guy.
Right, the guy that did the Inner Harbor, sure.
Inner Harbor, right. But public opinion was sort of against it, and they agreed to sell it to the state.
Right.
There was actually a farm all the way down on the end of the island. Back when I was a kid, it was Miss Brown who just refused to sell. And my stepfather told me about the actual cave that used to be down there where they actually utilized it for the Underground Railroad. I thought that was really interesting as well.
I got it.
There's some really neat stories and stuff about that area. It's beautiful.
No question.
It is. Wye River and Wye Island, I think, about the most beautiful places in the Eastern Shore.
No question.
And I'm like you. I can remember going soft crab hunting. You know, you just walk with your feet out of my dad's dental office in Graysonville. He had a place out there. We'd go soft crab hunting. And it was wonderful. You could get as many as you wanted, and you didn't worry. And you just, you'd go out on your boat in the morning, and all you do is dip in the morning because they were all on the top of the water, you know, and you could get a bushel out of it. So.
We used to actually walk around the shore with dip nets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people do that anymore, but that's the way we used to do it. It was really neat. And there actually was plenty of seaweed. And
not much grass left anymore, is there?
Well, it's made a comeback in some areas.
Some areas, yes.
Yeah,
some areas,
yes.
So clabber, it piqued my curiosity while you were talking. Clabber is a type of soured milk. It's produced by allowing unpasteurized milk to turn sour or ferment at a specific humidity and temperature. Over time, the milk thickens or curdles into a yogurt-like substance with a strong sour flavor.
It's like a buttermilk.
Well, buttermilk, but it's clabber. Very interesting.
Yeah, I really thought that was interesting.
Yep.
When the state bought it, this man that was really high up in the DNR, they allowed him to run the island, and we had just got out of high school when he hired about six or seven of us to actually work down there for a while, and that was really fun, really interesting. He was a wonderful man. Can't remember his name right now. He was an elderly man,
mm-hmm.
and instead of retiring, I think they gave him that position.
Interesting.
And it was really a neat thing.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. That's really good. That's really good, Bob. Thank you so much, and it brings back a lot of memories for a lot of people, I'm sure.
It does for me.
There you go.
All right. Well,
thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Call anytime.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. So, that's clabber.
And I'm reading it. It is. It's used for leavener and baconing, which is like a buttermilk. But it's eaten with a lot of different things.
Yeah, mostly sweet stuff.
Well, yeah, kind of like what you put on grits or something.
Yeah, molasses, brown sugar, cinnamon, all that stuff.
Pretty cool.
I think you were making that in the fridge before we left, weren't you?
Probably.
Yeah, I think now the trend is, it's called kefir or something like that. It's the same principle, I think.
Really?
Yeah, he's being a smart mouth about the...
Oh.
Sorry.
About biology project?
Yeah.
The green fuzz?
Yeah, well, no, there wasn't any green fuzz. It was just, here's how it goes. I don't know if I should dump this out or throw the whole half gallon away.
Gotcha.
I don't want to open it.
Yeah, it'd be a little odoriferous.
Odoriferous. Good word.
That's after we got back after three weeks.
That's a great name for a child, odoriferous.
I think some people do name their kids that.
That's perhaps. Oh, by the way, John B. said, and the Lord said to Aesop, go and write fables.
Thank you, John. I know I really screwed that up.
We're out of time for our break, aren't we? We have no time. Not. Can't even talk about Clyde Sports Shop and Browning Firearms, can I? You sure?
You could, and just the musical. Just...
The musical come in underneath, and then we'll be out of here. Well, why don't I do that? Why don't I talk about the two of them anyway, the AB300, which is a great package deal. Comes in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington Magnum, and 300 Win Mag. This is a package deal. AB300 comes with a factory-installed Buckmaster Nikon scope. You will enjoy the price of this beautiful A-Bolt 3 high-powered bolt-action rifle at Clyde Sports Shop. If you're looking for a new rifle, this is the one. For your shotgun, BPS pump, 410, 20, 12, 10 gauge, 12 and 20 rifle barrel deer hunters available. And what's beautiful about the BPS pump, bottom ejection. Clyde Sports Shop, your full line Browning dealer, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, phone 410-242-6108. They have all the Brownings, gunsmithing, ammunition licenses. It's Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be glad you did. Now get out, stay safe.